John, the first chapter. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. And this is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" And he said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now, they had been sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The Gospel of the Lord. In our reading from the Gospel of John, it's very clear that John knows who he is not. He is not a prophet. He is not Elijah. And he is most definitely not the Messiah. John defines who he is as the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. He prepares the way for the one coming later. He's the one who's tilling the ground, shaking things up, opening people's minds. For what? For the one who will usher in a new kingdom and a new reign. The Gospel of Luke tells us that Jesus reads our text from Isaiah in the synagogue. He deliberately hunts it up. He finds it in the scroll. He reads it. He sits down to teach. And he says to those assembled that they have seen the fulfillment of that text right there in front of them. Unlike John, Jesus is very clear about who he is. He is the anointed one of God, the one who is sent to bring good news to those afflicted through no fault of their own, to bandage the brokenhearted. Literally, the language is those who have had their inner human being broken into pieces, to proclaim liberty to the captive, release to those who are bound, to give those who mourn a garland, not ashes. This is the content of the good news that Jesus brings to that time and to that place, but also to our time and to this place. Jesus proclaims good news to those who are afflicted through no fault of their own, going to school and met by gunmen, bombed because you live in Kherson, Ukraine, and Putin has decided he wants it, attending a concert in a desert and attacked, killed, kidnapped because of who you are, homes and businesses destroyed, family and friends killed because of the response to someone else's actions, cancer that comes from nowhere, accidents that cripple, a lost job that creates financial distress, lack of food because of weather. Jesus proclaims good news in all of these situations. Jesus bandages those who have had their inner human being broken into pieces, shattered by betrayal, loneliness, their afflictions and addictions. He gathers those pieces and pulls them back together, knits them with God's shalom, God's peace, into a full human being again, not with invisible flaws, but like the Japanese art of kintsugi, healed in such a way that the flaws are made clear by the beauty of how they are fixed. This shalom that is the pulling together of the pieces of our lives into a unified whole. Jesus releases those who are bound by prejudice or hate, by fear and mistrust, by greed and avarice, by self-doubt and shame. Jesus proclaims liberty to all who are captive to sin, death, the devil, all those forces that defy God, deny God. Jesus frees us from the weight of our own expectations and others. This is the good news that Jesus embodies, proclaims, brings. Jesus looks out across the world and sees it as God does, redeemed, free. A world that trusts in God and God's promise. God's proclamation that this world as we see it is not how things really are. For in Jesus, through Jesus, all things have been made new again. We just don't always see it because our vision is held captive. John knows very well who he is not, but he also knows who Jesus is. And so he points clearly to him, beyond himself, to the one who will in fact save people, just not in the way that they expect. And this is especially true in the Gospel of Mark, where Jesus spends a lot of time trying to readjust people's expectations of the Messiah, to shift their imagination from that of a great warrior, prince, ruler who will overcome the world through force of arms, to change their imagination to that of a great teacher, healer, lover of human beings who will overcome the world through the breadth of that love. A love that will accept the worst, we think, that this world can throw at him. Death, shame, pain. Who will take that upon himself and show how powerless it truly is. In my time here at St. John, I have had several children who have mistaken me for God or Jesus. That's Jesus, I hear parents report to me. And when I was at First Lutheran in Cedar Rapids, I once had an unhoused man literally fall to his knees at my feet, grab my hand, almost kissing it, thanking me for helping him with some funds for food. Being called God and Jesus, having people fall to their knees at your feet, heady stuff all. But the example of John guided me. I'm very clear about what I am not. I am not a prophet. I am not the Messiah. I'm not your Savior. I'm merely the vessel by which that Messiah and that Savior can act to be that for others. And so I pointed beyond myself to those kids, but also to this man kneeling at my feet. No. It's God who provides. I just am privileged enough to be the means by which it gets to you. I am, as well as I can be, the voice of one crying in the wilderness of this world. Look, here is the way to life fuller and more abundant. Look, here is the one worthy of being our King. who is trustworthy in ways no other human being can be or has been, who is steadfastly loyal to us and to the promises made to us as God's beloved creation. You are God's beloved creation, fearfully and wonderfully made. And you too are called and equipped to proclaim these truths about Jesus, to bear witness to others in your life that the beloved of God has come near in this little child born in Bethlehem. In this mewling, puking, sleeping child, we find God's strength and power. That in this teaching from him, we have painted for us a picture of the world as God intended. And in the death and resurrection of Jesus, we find the chasm between that world and the one that surrounds us bridged. We have our vision cleared to see. And we find the truth that death, disease, destruction actually have no power over us ultimately. And instead it is God who wins. Not through violence and force, but through love, compassion, reconciliation. It is God who sees all those afflicted through no fault of their own, who hears their cries, their stories, who weeps with them, listens to their stories, and who brings healing and wholeness such that the world alone cannot give. It is God who looks at the shattered human within you, the one you hide behind the facade on your TikTok or your Instagram, your other social media, that grin and "I'm fine" that you flash to friends and family. God sees that shattered human being and tells you it'll be all right, and lovingly pulls those pieces back together, heals them with the gold of grace, binds you up with his love, so that you experience true peace, shalom, right? That pulling together, that wholeness that only he can bring. It is God who frees you from the voice in your head that says you're not enough. You're not good enough, worthy enough, pretty enough, tough enough, smart enough. He looks you right in the eyes and says, "No, you are enough, because God has made you that way." It is God who gives us the vision of how this world ought to be and is through Jesus. And so, we are called and equipped to be voices in the wilderness of this world, to go be Johns in the world. In fact, not just one voice, but a chorus of voices saying, "We ain't the Messiah. We aren't your salvation. But we can sure point you in the right direction. Just look to this babe, this child born in Bethlehem. This child is the reason that we rejoice at all times, because we know that in him God wins. This child is the reason we pray without ceasing, why we give thanks in all circumstances. This child, this man, this Jesus is why." And so in this almost sort of kind of last Sunday of Advent, because next week's a little shortened with Christmas Eve, let us rejoice and proclaim with John the truth that we know, that our Savior comes and that right soon. And for that we say, thanks be to God. And now, let us join together as we sing our hymn of the day.